It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, huge thanks, Marcus Spears. Thank you for coming on. Thank you, Christopher Black. Thank you, Danny Zetterman. And thank you, Tim Anderson of the Chicago White Sox, who has become a really good friend of this show, and he's awesome. Love talking baseball with him. And he said, if they, Carm joins me here in studio, and we'll talk to Yerk as well.
He's good. He's there.
He's there. Hi, hey, Yerk. How are you, buddy?
I'm here. I'm present and accounted for.
Nice.
My mind is empty.
Good. Keep it that way. Tim Anderson said, if they call and say we're going to be quarantined for 4.5 months, my wife and I have already talked. This is how I make a living. It's how I feed my family. I'm in to do it.
I would think, I can't imagine a baseball player saying he wouldn't do it. I mean, if you want to get paid, I mean,
that's the way it works. You want to get paid?
I can't believe they'd get 100% buy-in. I think overwhelming.
When you're paid, you'll have 100% buy-in.
Yeah, I think so. We're going to talk to Lucas Giolito tomorrow. We'll ask him some of the same questions.
Jason, what about a guy like Chris Bryant, whose wife is due? What about a guy whose wife's due in June or July, and they're saying,
you might not be allowed into the, well, I get when, you know, when she comes home from the hospital. Yeah, that'd be tricky. I don't know how you'd handle that. That'd be tough, but this is what they do. I mean, they play. This is how they get paid. This is how they live. I mean, do they make a special exception where he gets to go home then after she's home from the hospital and then he tests when he comes back? Or does he have to do like a 14-day quarantine himself before he can play again? Maybe they have some sort of rule like that. You could put a guy on a 14-day special exempt list for this year for family things where they have to leave the quarantine. Maybe there's something like that that goes into place. Anything's on the table, anything's possible, and it's a total one-off, which we keep saying. But it's not like you have to write this in permanently. Everybody should be amenable, I think that's the right word, and just roll with it and do it. If at some point they say, okay, you guys can play games, let them play. It'll be good for all of us. I don't think there's going to be fans in the stands, but if they're playing, that's good. And whatever rules have to go into place to make it happen for 2020, make it happen. That's what I would say.
They also have the draft coming up. And the New York Daily News said that they had a good source. Roger Goodell has put a clamp. Nobody can talk about anything to do with the draft. But before he put the gag order in, apparently Steelers GM Kevin Colbert got on a conference call with all the other GMs and proposed that you expand this year's draft one time only to 10 rounds rather than 7, because he said, we're going to be throwing darts in the last 3 rounds. We have no idea, because we can't get guys in our building and work them out. Yes, tape looks good, but I don't know anything about that guy. I need to get that small school guy on my property and put him through some things. We have no idea. So he said, to offset some of the mistakes that are obviously going to be made, I want 3 more rounds. But apparently they have not gotten any traction with that.
I'd be
all
right.
What do you guys think about that?
I'd be all right. I mean, again, anything for this year. What, you know, they're always throwing darts in rounds 5, 6, and 7, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I've got no problem. Those guys become free agents, and they've got just as good of a chance of making a team as the 7th-rounders do. And they're shooting darts and taking guesses and projecting on those players anyway. So that doesn't change from what they've been doing the whole time.
Instead of undrafted free agents, or, you know, the huge influx of undrafted free agents, you just add a few rounds this year? Sure. I think that's all right. That's probably doable, isn't it, York?
The guys that are very confident in what they're doing won't have any issues with this whatsoever. They'll just move about the business. Those that aren't confident about what they've got going on in their own building will be the guys that will be looking for every reason in the world to try to find something different than what they normally do. So,
people in the league said the Steelers typically place great value in pre-draft in-person interactions with prospects. Colbert ostensibly suggested the idea because he believes that teams will be prone to more mistakes without the additional evaluation time. His stance is a 10-round draft would widen the club's margin for error. Because of the gag, he now has declined any comment for this story.
I don't know what you make with undrafted free agents don't matter.
But they do
when they're drafted.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You sign a guy to an undrafted free agent, a guy you didn't take in seven rounds, and you sign 12 of those to 15 to the club. If none of those make it, nobody's being judged on that.
Is it going to be harder for the undrafted free agents? You know, because normally, like, by the end of the weekend, each team signs another half dozen undrafted guys, right?
At least half a dozen.
At least, right?
The rest of the roster.
Right. So is that going to be harder for them, or does it not even really matter?
No, players they've already gotten. Their scouts have been looking at. Now you got to trust your scouts for what they've been able to tell you. No, it's not. It's a non-issue. Like I said, guys that are confident. You think the guy in San Francisco cares? He's already said, we're going ahead with this. Let's get this thing started. He's not having any issues whatsoever, not looking for excuses. What's the guy in Pittsburgh doing? Looking for alibis for himself for the mistakes that he's probably going to make?
They've been a pretty good team over the years drafting, though.
Yeah. Well, they can do all, and they should still be a pretty good team drafting in the first, second, third, and fourth round. Nobody cares about undrafted free agents and the mistakes that you make there. The guy's bringing up a point that doesn't matter.
No, his point is, though, by adding three more rounds, you might at least have a better chance to mitigate mistakes you might make in rounds five, six, seven.
I'm going to slow down for you.
I know you're
maybe you're not understanding me. It doesn't matter. Okay? It doesn't matter. And the fact that he's bringing it up is telling me that he's got a problem going into this year's draft.
Well, it's like they're all looking for ways to protect themselves. It's like when the GMs got together and they said, well, wait, we shouldn't do the draft like this because we're not, this is going to be too hard for us. We don't have the ability to sit down and meet face to face with these guys. It's like they're building in excuses if they miss. They miss all the time anyway. The
miss rate is
extremely high.
Everybody misses.
You know, every year. It's not like, you know.
Nobody misses like Ryan Pace, but everybody misses.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Even the good ones miss plenty of times. And so it's almost like they're just trying to protect themselves. I mean, I don't know what his point is either. I mean, you're going to have your choice of free agents to sign unless they think that part of the process is going to be jumbled because or maybe jumbled is not the right word. But they think it's going to be impossible to start signing free agents because they can't have a lot of contact. If that's his point, then maybe I see where he's coming from. But when you're over, when you're done with your seven rounds, you're going to start signing all the guys that he wants to draft in rounds 8, 9, or 10, you're going to be available or you're going to have the opportunity, I should say, and they'll be available to sign with you as soon as the draft is over.
It's 100% correct. And usually they're fighting over $1,000 differences in signing bonuses. One team's going to give you $12,000, the other team's going to give you $11,000. So if you really like a guy, go out there and make him a decent offer, and then he'll probably end up signing with you.
Yeah.
What was
it's a non-issue.
What was that process like for you to go through? The draft,
simple.
The whole thing?
12 rounds of the draft went by. I didn't get picked. I went to the combine. I had a knee issue. It was flagged. Most of the teams took me off the board, and then they put me on as a guy after 12 rounds that they'd take a look at. So Siragusa was in a similar situation. He had a knee surgery in college. So you look around. There are three teams that wanted to sign me. Detroit, Kansas City, and Miami. Miami had a veteran nose tackle that wasn't fantastic or great, Brian Soche. They had Dan Salamua in Kansas City, and they had Jerry Ball out in Detroit, a young Jerry Ball, the one that could actually tie his shoes. Then he could tie his own shoes. But so you looked around there, and then they had a good backup. They had Lawrence Pete as a backup, too, in Detroit. So Detroit was a death knell. They wanted you as a camp body. Kansas City, it was a similar story. They just wanted you to come in, beat you up during camp, and then let you go. Miami was a different story. They had Brian Soche, and they drafted Alfred Oglesby in the third round. He's the one that got kidnapped, if you guys remember.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, listen, I've played with Oglesby in the North-to-South game. I figure I've got a better chance or the best chance to go down to Miami if I'm going to hook up with the team. So I chose Miami.
Do you know enough about the situation, or is that what the agent is for, Yerk? Like, does your agent kind of fill you in? Hey,
no, I mean, you know, you're looking at it when you're coming out of college.
You kind of knew
everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So when they mention the three teams, you go over this, you know, scenario. This is what they have. York, they want you as a camp body. York, they want you as a camp body.
Right.
Miami, you've got a legitimate chance. And I knew Alfred Oglesby because I played, you know, against them.
Yep.
He was on the other team in that North-South game, and I knew he wasn't much. So I'm like, all right, I have to go compete against him to see if I can beat him out for the job. Neither one of us were good enough. And they ended up trading for Sean Lee, and Sean Lee came over from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he ended up being the starter because Soche got suspended for steroids. Mm. They kept Oglesby because he was the third-round pick, and they said hasta la bye-bye to Johnny Hansen. Then brought me back 4 weeks later and put me on the practice squad because I made Shula laugh.
There you go.
So that's half the battle sometimes, make people laugh.
That's it.
Hey, you may not be able to cheer on your Wolves live at Allstate Arena, but you can take advantage of their year-end merchandise sale at ChicagoWolvesStore.com. The offer code year-end, good for 30% off select items. Wear what the Chicago Wolves wear with a 30% discount through this Sunday. So act fast and use the offer code year-end. That's year-end. We are the Wolves. Yerk, you nervous?
About what?
If you lose to me, dude, it's gonna you're never going to live it down.
I told you, kid, I've been emptying my mind, and that's half the key to any battle like this. When your mind is clouded is when you've got an issue. And whether I win or lose, it doesn't make a difference because I will give my best effort.
Yeah. Be just like Virginia losing to UM Baltimore County.
Yeah, you said that yesterday, so we'll see.
More like Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson.
Time will tell in Japan, by the way.
Jerm on Twitter said, I can see at Yurko 64 putting money on at the cap man then throwing the game.
No way.
Listen, got too much integrity for
hey,
that.
Hey, listen, depends how much money.
That's it. And that, my friends, is called integrity.
Nobody's making book on this anyway except for Viking Scott.
Yeah, he's the only one.
Yep. Yeah. And he had you, what, minus 340?
Oh, God, who knows?
Anybody got a future ticket on anybody? They could sell it on Prop Swap right now.
That's it.
Yeah.
Excuse me, do you have a futures ticket on David Kaplan to win it at like 48 to 1?
Yeah, you get about 50 to 1. Yeah.
That ticket's got a value of $2.
And then if you win a round and your odds plummet, maybe they sell it on Prop Swap.
Okay, I do have one question. Bleck said I will not get more than three right.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Do you know the questions, Chris?
He does.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Do you want to have a side wager I get more than three?
Are you talking to Chris? You're not talking to me, right?
I think he's talking to Chris.
I'm talking to Bleck.
Yeah. No, I'll just watch you painfully lose.
Just watch you go down in,
yeah,
in flames.
All right.
Do you hear Yurko in the background?
I hear him.
Oh, heavens. I'm just laughing.
Heavens to be.
I'm not, like I said, I didn't. My emails were for one reason or another not downloading on my computer, so I had to go to the phone yesterday after the show to get updated on exactly what was and what was not happening. So then I got the download. I took a look at it. I said, okay, and then that's the process when I started emptying my mind. Because if you've got too much in there, you overload your system, and then you freeze on the questions, and you take 10 minutes to answer. So most of the time you hear the question, you come up with that first instinct and you answer. If you start think long, think wrong. That's the problem. People don't get that.
That's true.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that depth of knowledge.
Yeah, I wish you the best of luck, of course.
All right, so we're doing this at 12:30, right?
12:30.
Okay.
That is correct. And look forward to it. I will see you guys at 12:30.
All right, see you in 15.
Carmen and Yurko are coming up next, and I will see you on our show at 9 a.m. See ya.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast, is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
The games begin. Who says there's no games? We got a tournament of champions going on here, Yurko. Yurk and Cap coming up in about 10 minutes. Round one, the one seed versus the eight seed. We got games. You can wager with your friends. Nothing's stopping you, right?
Well, yeah, we've also got online polls, too, Carm.
That's right, we do, Yurko.
I mean, we've got my Sweet 16 of the Chicago Cubs moments of the 2016 World Series run.
And
but for one reason or another, has been put on the back burner.
Why is it on the back burner?
Feels like it's on the back burner, Carm.
I don't feel like it
what
is.
What did we feature? We featured today's thing, right?
Well, this is the start of the big tournament of champions.
Right. Well, what was yesterday? The start of my Sweet 16.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand what's happening.
What's happening?
Well, you can't tell? I know.
No,
what's going
I can't.
On. Oh, I know what's going on. You ain't got to be a fool to know what's happening.
The one seed did what it should do to a 16 seed in Yurko's bracket yesterday. Chris Bryant's final put out, the assist, actually, and then the put out by Anthony Rizzo, that trounced, right? It was like 83% of the vote or something.
81 to 19%.
There it is. 81%. Yeah.
KB's home run to go up 1-0 in game 5 of the World Series was a pretty big blow.
Yeah.
So in a KB versus KB contest, KB's final out wins out.
Now we got the 8-9 matchup today, and they say there's always a 9-8 upset, right, Yurko? But so far, Miggy Montero's game-winning RBI single. Remember, the Indians would add a run in the home half of the 10th. So the deciding run was the Miggy RBI single. That's the 8 seed in Yurko's bracket up against the 9 seed, Ben Zobrist's triple in game 2 of the World Series to put the Cubs up 2-0. And Miggy Montero's clutch hit in the 10th in Cleveland in game 7 is getting about 74% of the vote right now. So that's out in front. You can vote on Yurko's Twitter timeline. Just go to @Yurko64. That's Yurko with the J and the number 64. And make sure you vote today and every day from now until we're done. And Yurko came up with the best 16 moments.
16 of them. That's how special that World Series was. It didn't deserve 8 moments. It deserved 16 moments.
Well, I did 8 with the White Sox when we started this a couple weeks ago because the White Sox played only 11 games. So you did have more moments to choose from.
They were 11-1.
I'm sorry, they played 12 games. Excuse me.
Yeah, 12 games. 11-1. I had the same 11 victories to choose from, Carm.
Correct.
But boy, they were so special. And not one Jake Arrieta moment in the whole Sweet 16. And really only one pitching moment. Hmm. And it was a moment. It was a strikeout.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Aroldis Chapman striking out Lindor in Game 5 at Wrigley Field with a man on third.
Big time.
Big strikeout there, Carm. Yeah, that's what the Cubs needed at that point.
Cubs couldn't get back to Cleveland without winning that Game 5,
they
if you remember.
It. They had to have it, Carm.
That's right. Absolutely.
It was 3-1 at that point, Carm. Things were looking dire in Chicago.
I don't think I could come up with like one great Arrieta moment. I mean, again, we wanted to stay away from sequences, so Yurko couldn't say Jake Arrieta's game 2 performance. I mean, Arrieta
took the
bump on, and you know, really what was like one of the few unpleasant nights of that World Series. Remember the incredible weather we had? I'll never forget sitting in Cleveland in game 1, and I mean, it was slightly chill. Well, though, it was really warm in game 6 and 7, but even for game 1, it was like 55 degrees, I want to say, or 50 degrees at game time, which isn't terrible for late November. Well, I'm sorry, late October, early November in Cleveland.
You guys are sitting in the 100 level. Adam and I climbed up to the 600 level, and we needed a Sherpa to get up there.
I
but
remember.
Besides that, at that altitude, it was a little bit colder.
But it wasn't so
bad. So Adam
and
I fortunately had sweatshirts on and tops, so we were in pretty good shape.
And then game 6 and 7 in Cleveland, I mean, it was, we were there in T-shirts. Like Yurko said, it was 70 degrees at first pitch. It was insane. But that game 2 was in sort of that was the most unpleasant night, if I'm remembering. It was drizzling, remember, and it was cold. And Jake Arrieta went to the mound and gave the Cubs what they needed. But that's an entire game and an entire sequence, so we stayed away from that. So there's not one moment with your guy, Arrieta. But we still know how much you love him, Yurko.
I do.
He's easily your second favorite. He was
behind Bill Buckner.
Yeah, behind Bill Buckner. Yeah.
And maybe Tarzan Joe Wallace.
He might be your second favorite, like, all-time Chicago acquisition. Now, he wasn't a free agent signing. He was a trade. But
yes, he
might be your second favorite. If I had to guess my partner's favorite all-time Chicago acquisition, it might be number 81, Marian Hossa. Is
Marian
that right?
Hossa, yeah. By far,
yeah. That's what I thought.
Oh, man, was he special. Wait a minute. Top three is Steve McMichael's acquisition from the New England Patriots.
Ah, good call.
Yeah. Boy, that was something special. When Mongo came here, after spending 1 year in Fritz Schirmer's defense over at the New England Patriots. How about that? Carmen, McMichael's career begins with Fritz Schirmer and ends with Fritz Schirmer.
Yeah, in Green Bay, right?
Yeah, boy, I think when he came up there, I think he wanted to punch Fritz in the face half the time. Honest to heavens, man, there was a definitive, just an energy that came out of McMichael up there that was ornery toward Fritzie Schirmer.
Really?
But McMichael's a true professional.
Yeah.
McMichael never really let it show, but you could feel that energy.
Hmm. That could be our next thing when your bracket is done with the Cubs, when we're done with the trivia contest, because we're still some time away from seeing actual sports being played. So we're filling the time with some of this fun stuff. That could be the next thing we do, like some sort of a bracket challenge with Yurk, or just debate, like,
the greatest, because we always do trades. I mean, we've done it before. Maybe we do a trades bracket and a free agent bracket and have them square off. But like the great Chicago acquisitions.
Right. We might have to have a Final Four bracket. I mean, I don't know how many great acquisitions are out there. We already know what the Cubs' greatest acquisition is, right?
Well, I mean, Arrieta might be the greatest acquisition. I mean,
I think Sylvie and Waddle did this last week.
Did they have it last week? About the trade with the anniversary of the Sosa trade?
Right.
You know, like acquiring Sosa, acquiring Ryan Sandberg. I mean,
they may have just did that as a poll.
Yeah, I think they did. I think they might have done that in their Final Four as the Dick poll.
Yeah, that's right.
Former pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
Maybe we have to go just team by team. What's the greatest acquisition for each team? We can do some of that fun stuff later. I mean, I do hope there are games sooner rather than later, but it's still going to be a while.
They're talking about it. They're talking about it in baseball,
which is good.
There's some contingencies out there. Best case scenarios, worst case scenarios. You know, they've got to have themselves a timeline over the course of 3 months, starting say May 15th until August 15th. They've got themselves some theories of what they might be able to do and what they can't do. So that's good to hear. I like to hear that. That's positive framework there for me.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of things that need to be happened. We're not naive, the Carmen and Yurko show. Not naive. You know, I like to, you know, whenever I give any medical advice out there, I always say consult your orthopedic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Consult your orthopod, because I don't pretend to know more than I actually know. All I know, there's going to have to be some things that are put in place. They're going to have to find a vaccine, and they're going to have to find that test to find out if you've got the antibodies or you don't have the antibodies. And then they can start the whole process of, okay, we're going to give you an email that says you're on the clear. Anywhere you go ahead and you present that via your email and say, look at my phone. I'm clean. I can go wherever I want to go. Please leave me alone.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, can they quarantine an entire league, 30 teams in Arizona?
I don't know. I don't know, but that'd be very intriguing and interesting. We're Americans, Carm. We can do what we want, really.
I know.
Who got to the moon first?
We did.
Okay, that's my point. But who's going to get to Mars first?
Hopefully us.
It's going to be the Americans, kid.
Elon
it's going to
Musk.
Be the Americans.
Yeah, it'll be us.
It doesn't matter who. It's going to be the Americans.
He's not American, but
who built the Hoover Dam? Do you ever see that thing, kid?
I've never been to the Hoover Dam.
It's an absolute marvel.
I mean, no.
Who built that? You think when they first started doing that, they were like, well, you know what we need to do? We need to dam this thing up.
We got to dam this damn thing.
Hydroelectricity, man. That's what we're going to do. Well, how are we going to do it? We're going to get hundreds of thousands of laborers out here, and we're going to get it done. Why? Because the Americans are the what? Can-do people.
Yeah, we are can-do. I would say to baseball, like, if that's what it takes for what would be a bizarre 2020 season, do it. And I think the players would embrace that. The players want to get paid, of course. I think they'll do just about anything. And if they say, this is how we're going to do it, we got to make the best of it. Triple headers, potentially. I think Scott Boras is the one who floated that idea. I mean, here's what I know they won't be able to do. Forget extra innings in 2020. Done. Out the window. Who cares? It's a one-off.
You know
if there's ties, there's
it's
ties.
Tie, it
doesn't matter.
Karma, Jeff Passan, when he was on with Waddle and Sylvie last week, said what they would do is the California rules.
They'd put somebody on second?
Second, one out.
I don't even know if they should do that.
Lovely.
Games tied 3-3 at the end of 9. It's a tie game. End it. End it already.
That's it. It's over.
Especially if you think you're playing double and triple headers. It's over. You don't need extra innings this season. I don't know how they're going to do Arizona in the heat of the summer. I mean, it's 110 degrees every day. I mean, how many covered stadiums, you know, dome stadiums do they have? You've got the ballpark, obviously. Is that the only facility? I mean, I don't know. A lot of
night games, Carm.
Yeah, I guess you could do that, Yurik. I mean, then you could forget double headers, but I guess you play a lot of night games. You know, because it is much more pleasant at night. You can't play day games outside in July in Phoenix. I mean,
it's very hot.
There's no way.
It's very hot.
You know, Glendale, that entire stadium, Camelback Ranch, the entire stadium is in the sun. There's not a piece of shade out there. I said shade. And I've been there in March.
What else would you say if you didn't say shade?
Piece of shade.
Oh, okay.
Yurik, yeah. I mean, I've been there in March. When it's 92 degrees and it feels like you're on the surface of the sun. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, there's not one piece of shade. So you can't play games there in July. I mean, at night, okay. But I mean, I don't know how they're going to do this. But like Yurko said, I'm glad that they're at least thinking about this, that these commissioners, these owners are probably totally preoccupied and totally obsessed day and night right now with figuring out what we can do. Right. And I'm glad that it's all being discussed and they're thinking about all of it, because I would still love to see baseball at some point this summer.
Again, with the solid medical advice that you're going to receive from those people who are professionals. Nobody is putting the cart in front of the horse in this situation. Okay, so everybody just relax.
Yeah,
it's going to play out the way it plays out. What did we know a couple of weeks ago, beginning of April? These were going to be the worst 2 weeks going through.
This is it.
Through Easter, right?
Yep. Yes, you're right.
Know, going into the 20th, all right? Let's see how this thing plays out. Let's see if we got a flattening of the curve.
Right.
This is still going to take some time, gentlemen, after the curve flattens. You know that, right? The climb up was like going to have the climb down.
Right.
It's going to be timely.
Well, if it's a bell curve, it should mirror. Yeah, I mean.
I don't know if it's quite the bell curve.
It's not quite a bell.
But, yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. We'll figure it out, though. Trust me when I say that, gentlemen.
This next 10 days is going to be rough, but it can't break us. Don't let it get you down. Try to think of the positive if you can, as best you can. But, yeah, all the experts do say this next week through Easter, maybe into about this time next week, is going to be brutal. And
yeah,
hopefully after that we come out.
I'm getting a haircut today.
Where?
Oh, I'm having a girl come over and do it.
Boy, it's not really social distancing.
Well, Carm, old Gordo over there kind of did it herself. So guess what? If Gordo can get a haircut, Yurko can get a haircut, too. I'm talking about Lightfoot. Gordon Lightfoot, my girl. If she can go get a haircut, I can get. I'm the face of my family, Carm. I'm the face of my family.
I think I'm going to have my wife cut my hair.
I'm going to get my hair cut, man.
She cut the kids' hair last week. She did a pretty good job, I think. I don't know what Sylvie did to his son. I mean, is this a joke? Did you do it? Did you blindfold yourself? Has he never held a pair of clippers in his hands before?
My heavens, yeah.
I couldn't believe what he did to his son. I said, Sylvie, that's tragic. You just need to shave the whole thing off. My wife did a semi-decent job with the kids. I'm thinking about just letting her cut it. I don't know, because it's driving me nuts.
Well, why not? Listen, if you trust your wife, then why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know? You
and
don't
I
think
do.
She's going to hamstring you, do you?
No.
All right? So why don't you go ahead and just, you know, let her get a couple cuts there.
I think I'm going to.
She's not going to cut your ear off, is she, Peter?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right. Make sure things work well.
The tournament.
Yeah, how about old Gordo? Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's social distancing. The Tournament of Champions begins next. Yurko versus Cap when we come back.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome to the Tournament of Champions. 1 through 8, the Elite Eight. Me and Yurk, Waddle and Sylvie, Cap, Black, Abdallah, Meller, all competing. Who is the trivia king?
Let's frickin' do this.
1 versus 8 is about to happen. Cap versus Yurko. Yurko's the 1 seed, Cap's the 8 seed. We need 5 callers for Yurk and 5 for Cap. So the first 10 are in. You don't have to do anything but call and have Randy Merkin record your name and your number. First 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are going to be with Yurko. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 are going to be with the Capman. Whichever person wins this round, his 5 callers will advance for the final prize, which is going to be a $1,000 credit to Prop Swap. How about that? And a $100 credit to Club Hawthorne. Very good. Danny Zetterman is here. He's written all the questions.
Hello, Danny.
Hello, Johnny. How are you, my friend?
My mind is empty.
Well, this is the most we've been together in like a month, because we got 4 guys in the studio. I don't know if that's very safe right now. Abdallah is putting this on Twitch. Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Is it on Twitch now, Adam?
Yes.
It's on Twitch.
Can I just say I took the first caller and he goes, am I on Team Yurko? I said, no, you're on Team Cap. He goes, forget that, and hung up the phone.
No, first 5 are on with Yurko, I said.
Oh, all right.
Jeez. They're all with me, you knucklehead.
Didn't I say?
Then we take another 5, and they go on Team Kaplan.
You did. You did.
That's
you
what
did
I said.
The first 5,
five are with Yurko, and the second 5 are with Cap.
What are you listening to on GN, Merck?
That's what I said. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with Yurk. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 with Cap.
That's what you said.
Now, I will let you know, Johnny, I don't know if you were listening earlier. I do apologize. This game will be a little bit easier for you than the games will be as we progress through the tournament. just because, and no offense to Cap, I mean this with peace and love.
Peace and love.
I had to dumb it down.
If I hear that term one more time, I'm going to throw up.
Peace and love. I had to dumb it down just a little bit so he had a chance going up against the number one seed.
So there's seven questions. There's no clock, but you will be timed because that's the tiebreaker. Let's say both guys get four right or five right. The tiebreaker is going to be whoever did it quicker. You can pass, right, Danny?
Correct.
Can you unlimited pass or just one?
Pass.
All right, you have one pass. All right, we're going to send Cap.
Who goes first?
You're going first, Yurko. Right. Cap's going to go into the soundproof booth. You have to go first because you're at home.
Johnny.
And please, Johnny, I know there's a computer in front of you. We are going to trust that you're going to be honest and forthright.
Listen, boys, he's not going to need to. My fat keister is here just sitting down enjoying myself.
I mean, he did coin the phrase, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But Yurko is not cheating in this game,
I've also coined C's get degrees.
That's true.
Okay? And they do. Trust me.
Yeah, I know.
Still waiting for mine.
I know firsthand.
All right, I believe Cappy is in the soundproof booth.
Can we get like a signal from Meller? Is he totally locked away in the soundproof booth?
Meller's watching him, so I think we're fine. I trust Meller.
Good to go?
All right, Johnny, are you ready to go?
I trust Meller, too. Yeah, go ahead. Start spitting them out.
We've got seven questions here. Today we are going to play the Masters game. We got good news yesterday.
The Masters
tournament is going to be played November 12th through the 15th. Also, on this day in 1963, Jack Nicklaus won his first of six majors titles. So it makes sense today we play the Masters game. Are you ready to begin, Johnny?
Anything, guys. Anything. The Masters game.
The Masters game. Are you ready to begin, Johnny?
I am. Go.
The clock is beginning. In 2019, Tiger Woods won the Masters. Who won the green jacket the year before? In 2018, edging out Ricky Fowler.
Oh, 2018 green jacket. Was that Rory McIlroy?
We are all familiar with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Who was He-Man's arch enemy?
Drago.
Run-DMC is the most influential hip-hop group of all time. Who is their DJ heard here?
Jam Master Jay.
The Masters champion also receives the green jacket, the first one being won by whom?
Oh, first one being won by Gene Sarazen.
Masters of Puppets is the third studio album from this band.
Metallica.
Emmett is a master builder in the movie franchise in which everything is awesome.
The Lego movies.
He is the first foreign-born player to win the Masters.
First foreign-born player. Gary Player.
All right, Johnny. Good
job.
You got
four?
You only got four.
That's all right, though. Four or seven's not bad.
I felt like you were kind of trying to throw it a little bit. You did it
Listen,
in 1 minute.
Guys, if I don't know the answer, I can't play around.
Right.
Because the time, you've got to get the time out.
So if
Cap gets four, I got to get it out. I got to get the answer out.
I'm really surprised you didn't know the He-Man one. I'm so shocked by that one.
I have no idea. Skeletor?
Yes. There you go, Johnny.
I think Cap has a shot now.
Don't say anything. You said he was going to get three.
Yeah, but Carmen, I didn't expect Yurko to only get four.
First of all, he got four and he did it in a minute 14. You know Cap can't. He's going to have to beat the four. Because you know how it'll take him 2.5 minutes.
It's a good strategy by Yurko.
Yes. He went through that like lightning. Don't say any answers because they're going to get Cap out of the soundproof.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything. Listen, if you don't know, you got to go.
Good questions, Danny. I like that.
Thank you.
I hemmed and hawed on the first one, and I didn't know exactly. I got to guess now.
All right, don't say anything.
But that doesn't help me.
No. Actually, I'm stumped on that one, too, for some reason. I don't know why I can't think of it.
I'm not anymore.
That's simple memory.
I know. It's just like sometimes I remember. I have an easier time remembering things from 30 years ago. I don't get it.
All right, Cappy.
All right, Cap's here.
I got good news for you.
You got good news and bad news.
The good news is Yurko only got 4 of 7, which I am shocked by.
But the bad news is
he did it in a minute 14.
He did it fast.
You have a shot, Cap. You have a shot.
If I get five,
then you win.
Even if I go 8 minutes, it doesn't matter.
Correct.
Yeah, you go 19 minutes.
You get one pass, Cappy. Are you ready to begin?
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to play the Masters game. The Masters game, because we got good news yesterday. The Masters tournament will begin in November. And also on this day in 1963, Jack Nicklaus won his first of six Masters. So it makes sense we played the Masters game. Are you ready to begin?
Let's do it.
The clock starts now. In 2019, Tiger Woods won the Masters. Who won the green jacket the year before? In 2018, edging out Ricky Fowler.
Fowler in 2018 was Patrick Reed.
See, great though.
We are all familiar with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Who was He-Man's arch enemy?
Pass.
Run DMC is the most influential hip hop group of all time. Who is their DJ heard here?
No freaking idea. I'll take P. Diddy.
The Masters champion receives the green jacket, the first one being won by whom?
First one? Old Tom Morris.
Masters of Puppets is the third studio album by this band.
Radiohead.
Great answer.
What?
Emmett is a master builder in this movie franchise in which everything is awesome.
Emmett is the master builder in which everything is awesome?
This is an example of one of those questions where you're living under a rock.
His kids are too old.
Oh, come, everyone knows this.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
He is the first foreign-born player to win the Masters.
First foreign-born player. I'll go with the same answer before, Old Tom Morris.
You can't win, but you passed on this one. We're all familiar with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Who was He-Man's arch enemy?
No freaking idea.
You got one right, Kaplan, in 2 minutes. And that, my friend, is why you were the eighth seed.
You're going to survive in advance. There you go, Yurk.
Do either of you guys know? One of my questions was, and I
was
talking.
What did Yurko get wrong?
Yurko got Reed.
Yeah, he didn't get Patrick Reed.
He got Skeletor wrong, just like you did.
He said Gene Sarazen. I'm guessing is it Bobby Jones? No,
Sam Snead won the first green jacket. Yeah. And that's it. That's all Yurko got wrong were those three.
The Lego movie is everything is awesome. But
yeah,
kids
I had
are
the
young.
Lego
like,
movie.
We've seen it a million times.
I've seen the Lego movie, too.
It's great.
Yeah.
Everything is awesome.
One of my questions was, to be a master chef, you have to know what a mirepoix is. Do you know what the three vegetables in that are?
Onion,
I was talked
celery,
out of it by these guys.
Onion, celery, and carrot.
Oh, Johnny would have got it.
Yeah. Cat would have never have gotten that.
I thought you would because you cook.
No. Yeah, no.
He's not making mirepoix. He picks it up at the grocery store and he puts it in the...
No, I like to...
Cap's the guy that goes to the Whole Food Hot Bar.
No. I actually like to cook, but I have no idea what that is.
Mirepoix is your base for like every stock or braise or like soup. All that is, you know, you sweat down because you want the sugars from the carrots, the celery, and the onions. So that's like that's one of the basics of French cooking.
Yeah, no.
Mirepoix.
Well, congratulations, Johnny. Tomorrow we get Abdallah versus Bleck, the 4-5.
Oh, that's going to be
11:35.
If those questions were dumbed down, you're out of your freaking mind.
And how do you miss Metallica?
Come on, Cap. You had a chance. Yurko opened the door and you didn't walk through.
I opened the door, guys.
Those were awful questions.
Those were good.
That's why I love opening the door. Yeah, Master of Puppets is Metallica.
Read the answers, at least.
Radiohead.
All right. Who won the Masters in 2018? Patrick Reed.
Good job.
Skeletor's He-Man's arch enemy. Jam Master Jay is the DJ of Run DMC.
I got that.
Sam Snead won the first green jacket. Metallica's third album was Master of Puppets.
Got it.
Lego Movie is where Emmett's a master builder.
Yes!
The first foreign-born player ever to win the Masters, Gary Player.
I got the last four, I think, right?
Yeah.
No, last three?
No, because you got the Run DMC question.
You missed the first two, Johnny, and then you missed the Sam Snead first green jacket.
I got you.
So tomorrow it's Abdallah and Bleck. That's going to be no holds bar
too.
Tomorrow. That's good. What time is that, 11:35?
11:35. Bleck gets home court advantage.
That's going to be good tomorrow.
That's exciting. Hey, Cappy, best of luck, though, you know?
Yeah, thanks, kid.
I mean, you weren't going to beat anybody with just one right one. That wasn't going to happen.
I am going to go home and I'll be like those people in the Olympic Village. Once they get done with their event, it's game on.
It's on, yes.
Mindy, get ready.
There you go.
You guys
Brace yourself, Mindy. She's hiding right now.
You guys have a great day.
She's going to that special place to disappear.
All right, well done, Danny. The Tournament of Champions will resume tomorrow. We'll do trending next. And then coming up at 1 o'clock, we're going to talk Bulls basketball with Joe Cowley. And at 1:30, Jason Stark on when baseball might be able to resume. We'll trend next.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko?
You don't have to miss anything.
Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN Chicago and the Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. 8 food banks in Illinois are responding to the critical need for food caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. So if you would like to donate, please do. We encourage you to do so. And your gift will be processed by the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Donate right from your couch. The new goal is $1.25 million. And the Illinois Children's Healthcare Foundation is now matching every dollar donated up to $200,000. Go to feedingillinois.org/unite or text FEEDIL to 91999, and your generous gift will make sure families in our community have enough to eat. Use the hashtag FEEDIL for all your social posts. Speaking of social media, let's do some trending. We do it every day at this time on the Carmen and Yurko program. Mr. Merkin, what's happening?
All right, boys. Yurko, congrats on the win.
Thank you.
What's trending brought to you by Trend Micro, the leader in cybersecurity, protecting over 500,000 companies worldwide. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more information. So with the draft coming up in just over, two weeks?
Yeah, just over two weeks. What, 2 weeks from Thursday, right?
2 weeks from Thursday, Ravens head coach John Harbaugh is concerned about technology security.
I could see him being a little bit. He needs Trend Micro.
He needs Trend Micro, exactly. Right?
Be careful on Zoom, guys.
Yeah, like, I mean,
a lot of people jumping in on Zoom.
That's what it sounds like, and he's a little worried about that.
Yep.
But then DaCosta had a funny line, too, York. Did you see DaCosta? He joked that Harbaugh is being too concerned about the cracks in the communication technology, and he said, I have more confidence in Zoom than I do in Ozzie, meaning Ozzie Newsome, John Biscotti, the owner, Dick Cass, the team president, with a copy of our draft board that they just leave in the car in the front seat or something like that. I thought that was kind of funny for Eric DaCosta to say.
And that could happen, you know?
It could.
Because I appreciate it, and then they just leave it wherever they leave it because right. They forget about it.
Do you guys remember the great interview with John and Jim Harbaugh with Waddle and Sylvie years ago? This is when the lockout was going on. And we asked John Harbaugh, because there was an incident the year before with the Bears and the Ravens with the draft.
Oh, that was the draft. That was
And we were expecting.
They were mad at Jerry Angelo, right?
Right. We were expecting a tame answer from John Harbaugh just saying, yeah, we're past it. He's like, nope, not past it, and we'll never deal with the Bears again.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I'm sorry. It wasn't Jerry. It was
Jerry.
Was it Jerry Angelo? Or was it Angelo?
It was Jerry Angelo.
It was? Okay.
Yeah, it was Jerry Angelo.
I do remember that.
This is from Adam Schefter. Hard Knocks planning to feature Rams and Chargers this.
I mean, what
upcoming.
Kind of a training camp are we even going to have, though? That's what I'm wondering. I mean, even if it's truncated and brief, they'll still be there bringing us behind the scenes. That's kind of cool to do two teams.
And it's too early to project now what will or won't be. So they've got to make plans for it to happen, and they've got to go ahead and put the contingencies on it. And they could always cancel it if there's not going to be one.
Right.
So you got to put plans in place if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And then if it's not going to happen, you just cancel it, and that's okay. But the plans need to be made now.
Pick your teams, and, just try to get all your ducks in a row. Hopefully it will happen. I think that's cool that they're doing two teams, actually. That's an interesting new twist. I like it. And it makes sense why they picked those two.
I would love to see the Bears do it 1 year.
I don't know, right?
Especially with all the silliness and stupidity we got out of Antonio Brown last year.
That's right.
Yeah,
I forgot,
true.
Boy. That...
Yeah, I didn't forget it at all.
Yeah.
It did not shine a great light on him last year.
No.
And really, that kind of exposed him to the world. And then it didn't give him any of the benefit of the doubt when he tried to make an argument otherwise. You know what I'm saying? You watch that,
sure.
You're like, well, I really don't believe what he's saying because of what I've seen now.
Exactly.
So, you know, sometimes you get what you deserve.
That's the danger, I guess, of having all that on reality
it
TV.
Is.
Yeah. What else, Merk?
My favorite part, by the way, of that Hard Knocks was the Frank Caliendo
when he came
in and did the John Gruden.
I like that.
In front of John Gruden. That was great. Cam Newton on Instagram Live yesterday with Chris Paul says he's in uncharted waters right now, and I would imagine he's going to be in uncharted waters for a long time, right? Because who's going to sign him until he has a physical?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know how you take a chance on it. And see, the Bears weren't alone. I mean, I know a lot of people think, oh, why wouldn't the Bears be interested in this reason and that reason? With all this uncertainty, if they ever were, you know, planning to go in this offseason, kicking the tires on Cam Newton, that went out the window the minute all this hit the fan, didn't it? When you, I mean,
And that, Nick Foles is coming off an injury, too. But, I mean, Cam's had two here in the last couple of years, like two surgeries, and his body has just taken a beating. I saw some stat that said, geez, I'm trying to remember how it was phrased now, York. Something about, like, it might have been just exactly and as simply as number of times a quarterback has been hit since Cam Newton came into the league. Like, Cam's obviously number one. Aaron Rodgers is number two. And Cam Newton is so far and away ahead of everybody else, ahead of second place Aaron Rodgers, it's not even funny. And now he's a tank, I get it, but like the cumulative effect of that is got to be real. And I think there's genuine concern about his ability to stay healthy going forward. And without the ability for teams to get their hands on him, I don't blame him. I don't blame teams for treading very lightly right now.
So I would look at any coaches that have been associated with him in the past to know what kind of individual he is, and then, you know, not so much take a flyer on him, but talk his people into saying, hey, if we've got to secure our quarterback position, this is the guy we can go after. So any coordinator that was there, any QB coach that was there, any O-line coach that might be somewhere else that'd be able to vouch for Cam Newton would be an avenue or an area for him to go to. And, of course, injuries during training camp and or in the preseason might open up areas for him.
I think that's what's going to open up the avenue for Cam. He might have to wait that long. The coach that knows him best, Ron Rivera, traded for the other guy in Carolina. Think about that for a second.
Yep.
Like, that probably tells you all you need to know. So that's why it's going to be a while, unfortunately, for Cam, I think. Anything else, Merck?
Not enough to get into. That's it. We're good.
All right, there we go. We're going to talk
to... Nice job, Randy.
We're going to talk to Joe Colley. A couple of the real impressive young decision makers around the NBA that I think the Bulls were hoping to at least interview sort of rebuff the Bulls, you know? I mean, they were not going to be made available, or they decided to stay, and that's a little bit of a kick in the you-know-what. But there are still some good candidates out there, and the Bulls are interviewing them. So we'll get the very latest on maybe who's the front runner and what the Bulls are thinking for their new executive. We'll talk to Joe Colley when we come back next. We're back in 2 minutes.